Chapter 34, Northern Nepal. Despite the extreme cold, their gondola cave served them well, the snow-covered roof not only protecting them from the wind, but also trapping a precious fraction of their body heat. Ensconced in the parachute canopy, their parkas, caps, and gloves, they slept deeply, if sporadically, until the sun peeking through the aluminum shingles woke them. Though wary of another visit from the Chinese, Sam and Remy knew that to survive, they would have to find a way out of the valley. They climbed out of the gondola and set about making breakfast. From the bell's wreckage, they'd also managed to scrounge 9 tea bags and a half-torn bag of dehydrated stroganoff. From the Z9, Sam had unknowingly picked up a packet of rice crackers and 3 cans of what looked like baked mung beans. They split one of these and shared a cup of tea, the water for which they boiled inside the empty can. They both agreed it was one of the best meals they'd ever had. Sam took his last sip of tea, then said, "I was thinking last night." "And talking in your sleep," Remy added. "You want to build something, don't you? Our mummified friends in the gondola got here by hot air balloon. Why don't we leave the same way?" Remy opened her mouth to speak, but Sam pushed on. "No, I'm not talking about resurrecting their balloon. I'm thinking more along the lines of a..." Sam searched for the right term. "Franken balloon." Remy was nodding. "Some of their rigging, some of ours." Her eyes brightened. "The parachute." "You read my mind. If we can shape it and seal it up, I think I have a way of filling it. All we need is enough to lift us out of this valley and onto one of those meadows we saw to the south. 4 or 5 miles at most. From there we should be able to walk to a village." "It's still a long shot." "Long shots are our specialty, Remy. Here's the truth of it. In these temperatures, we won't survive for more than 5 days. A rescue party might come before that, but I've never been a big fan of might. And there's the Chinese to consider. And them. I don't see any other option. We gamble on rescue, or we get ourselves out of here. Or die trying."
"No question. We try. Let's build a dirigible."
The first order of business was inventory. While Remy took careful stock of what they had scrounged, Sam carefully reeled the old rigging up from the crevasse. He found only shreds of what had once been the balloon, or balloons in this case. "There were at least 3 of them," Sam guessed. "Probably 4. You see all the curved pieces of wicker, the way they come to a point?"
"Yes."
"I think those might have been enclosures for the balloons."
"This material is silk," Remy added. "It's very thick."
"Imagine it, Remy. A 30-foot-long gondola suspended from 4 caged silk balloons. Wicker and bamboo struts, sinew guy lines.
I wonder how they kept it aloft.
How did they funnel the heated air into the balloons? How would they..." Remy turned to Sam, clasped his face between her hands, and kissed him.
"Daydream later, okay?"
"Okay." Together they began separating the tangled mess, setting guy lines to one side, bamboo and wicker struts to the other. Once done, they carefully lifted the mummies from the gondola and began untangling them from the last bit of rigging.
"I'd love to know their story," Remy said.
"It's obvious they'd been using the upturned gondola as a shelter," Sam said. "Perhaps the crevasse split open suddenly, and only these 2 managed to hold on."
"Then why stay like that?"
Sam shrugged. "Maybe they were too weak by that point. They used the bamboo and rigging to build a small platform." Kneeling beside the mummies, Remy said,
"Weak and crippled. This one's got a broken femur, a compound by the looks of it. And this one... see the indentation in the hip? That's either dislocated or fractured. It's awful. They just laid in there and waited to die."
"It won't be our fate," Sam replied. "A fiery balloon crash, maybe, but not this."
"Very funny."
Remy stooped over and picked up one of the bamboo tubes. It was as big around as a baseball bat and 5 feet long.
"Sam, there's writing on this. It's scratched into the surface.
Are you sure?
Sam looked over her shoulder. He was the first to recognize the language. That's Italian. You're right.
Remy ran her fingertips over the etched words while rotating the bamboo in her opposite hand.
This isn't, though.
She pointed to a spot near the tip. No taller than a half inch, a square grid framed four Asian symbols.
This can't be, Remy murmured. Don't you recognize them?
No. Should I?
Sam, they're the same four characters engraved on the lid of the Thurang chest.